This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Welcome to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. This is your host, Tim Link, and I'm so glad you're joining us today. I'm super duper excited about this. I barely could sleep about this next guest coming on the show. I am honored to have her on the show. She is one of my favorites from a professional standpoint, but her big heart, her love for the animals makes it even more exciting for me. So we're going to have Bonnie Jill Laughlin on the show. Bonnie Jill, you may know, she is she's a trailblazer. She is a glass ceiling breaker. She is the sports broadcaster, TV personality. She is a philanthropist. She has a slew of accolades that I'd be here all day spouting off. You know, the first NBA scout, that was a female scout. She was part of the Lakers organization and worked as assistant GM, where she got 5 rings out of that. And she also got a Super Bowl ring with the San Francisco 49ers. It goes on and on. One of the best female sportscasters, best sportscasters out there. And when I read through her bio and read through everything that she does, never ceases to amaze me. I'm always excited to find out what she's going to be doing next. And then, of course, we're going to talk to her a little bit about her nonprofit organization, Hounds and Heroes and Horses, and talk to her a little bit about her ranch and Battle Buddies Sanctuary there in Fort Worth, Texas area. And of course, we're going to talk about another accolade. She is a brand new author of the book, In a League of Her Own, Celebrating Female First in Sports. Fantastic read. So we're going to pick Bonnie Jill's brain a little bit about what's going on. Tell us a little bit about the book. We'll talk about critters, of course. I want to talk to her about the writing of the book for sure. And also want to talk to her about female empowerment, I guess what I would say, you know, building up the esteem of women and females and young females in particular, and how they could get to the top of whatever field they want to get into, especially if it's sports broadcasting or in the sports arena. So a lot to cover. Super excited. I'll try to keep it to a minimum so I'm not hogging up all the time. We're going to come back right after this commercial break, and we'll start our conversation with Bonnie Jill Laughlin. And you're listening to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome to the show. Today is a super-duper trailblazer sports broadcaster and, of course, the new author of the book, In a League of Her Own, Celebrating Female Firsts in Sports. Bonnie Jill Laughlin, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Tim.
Oh, I'm super excited about it. You know, and I'm almost giddy, because I had the privilege of talking to a lot of authors and writers and celebrities, and I'm always excited to pick their brains a little bit about life in general and how they got to the top of their field. And in particular, if they've written a book or screenplay, something of this sort, I want to pick their brains about how they go about doing that. But when I had the opportunity to be able to get you on the show to talk about your new book, In a League of Her Own, Celebrating Female First in Sports, it really excited me. And I was super excited about the book, and it got me even more excited when I started reading it. So before I go on too long, I'm going to turn it over to you. Tell us a little bit about the book, In a League of Her Own.
Yes, I wanted to make sure to encompass a book that had these 19 fabulous females who have paved the way in sports, some that are very iconic and some that are maybe hidden gems that people don't know about. But all the same, they all have paved the way. They've all been the pioneers. And I wanted to have the younger generation, these younger females, to know that there's a space for them in sports. And it's not just being an athlete. It's being in the front office as a coach, as a ref, as an umpire, as, you know, so many different roles now that women are being able to be in sports. And I thought it was really important and timely. And here we are. But it took, you know, a long time for publishers to even want to take on the book. Every time I went to a publisher, they said, we love your story. Will you write a tell-all book? And I'm like, no, I want to do a book that's inspiring and aspiring and, you know, motivational. I don't want to do a tell-all book about my days at the Cowboys or the Lakers. You know, that's just, first of all, that's just not me. And it was crazy that it took a long time for people to want to do a book. So as much as they say they want to empower women, it still takes a lot to try to nudge them to actually walk the walk, talk the talk, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. Did you find the publishers had a little bit of reluctancy, in your opinion? Was it more towards the fact that they thought the audience would be limited to sports or to females? Or was it the fact that in today's culture, we tend to get excited by all the train wrecks of the world?
Right. Yeah. You just took the word out of my mouth. It was, they want more train wrecky. I mean, just like with television, it's like you rarely see like feel good stuff. I mean, you do see it sprinkled here and there, but the reality shows and the different documentaries that do well are the ones that, you know, have a lot of drama, forced drama, you know, different things that they think kind of moves the needle. And so they were a little bit more reluctant in regards to that because they thought, you know, something about me with my days with the Dallas Cowboys and, you know, the times of the Michael Irvins and Troy and Emmitt and some of the trouble that some of the guys got in when I was on the team there, or with the Lakers, you know, all the drama with Kobe and Shaquille and, you know, all that. And, you know, they know a lot of my friends that are in the sports world. And I'm like, you know, first of all, I'll always have their back. I'll never do a tell-all, but I'll just keep moving along. And eventually a publisher will understand my vision, my mission, and what I'm trying to accomplish here. And it happened.
It's about time. It's about time. And I will say with the book, we'll go into more detail about it, but I love the book. I mean, I really did. I thought it was extremely well written. The interviews were intriguing. I love the fact that you had a nice mixture, and you also had, like you said, unless you're a diehard sports fan in a particular field, you know, women that we may not have heard of or not heard enough about, we'll say. And like you had mentioned earlier, you know, a lot of them were athletes, but a lot of them aren't. And I'm seeing a trend, fortunately, it's slowly but surely trending in the direction to give women more opportunities, especially young females.
Right. Absolutely. And that was so important because there is, you know, there was just not too long ago where women weren't even allowed in a press box, you know, going to different sporting events as a media member. And so we really have, you know, taken some big strides. It's still not, you know, where we need to be, but I want it to be where women get jobs because they're the most talented, not because certain teams or organizations or networks need to fill a quota. It should be because that person's best for the job. And so we still have a long ways to go with that, you know, but we are making strides. You're seeing how much people are embracing Caitlin Clark. You know, yeah. I've never seen so many people into college women's basketball, you know, and so that's really nice to see. And, you know, she's so humble. She's so likable. So I think that's really helped with women's basketball. Same with Becky Hammon, what she's done in the NBA, especially under, you know, a coach like Popovich and going to the Aces and winning a championship there. So I think the basketball's in the right, they're on the right path. I'm not sure about, you know, some of the other sports, they're doing it, but it's still, you know, going to take a little longer to have it on the forefront.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I see in Major League Baseball, we're starting to get general managers that are female. We're getting some coaches, a little bit of umpiring mixed mm-hmm. in there. And I like the fact that, at least in my opinion, the way I envision it, in the early days, like you said, perhaps it was a quota driven situation, or it was right. a novelty type situation. And I think we're now sort of slowly getting to that point where we're realizing that, hey, you know, people that have the ability and the intelligence and the drive to do this, like yourself, can do this and do it as well as anybody else.
Right. And that's what's so important. And like you said, you know, Kim Ng, when she was the first female to be a GM, no longer in that position, but still was there. And then Rachel Balcovic, who's actually in my book, she's now director of player personnel for the Marlins. And she really worked, you know, her way up to the top. She went straight from the bottom, single A, you know, went to double A and triple A. And, you know, she did everything she needed to do, which I really, really, really admire her work ethic. So it's been really great to see her. And then we've got a lot of the umpires in baseball. And then Katie Sowers, who was the first female to coach in the Super Bowl while I was covering the team with the Niners and became friends with Katie. So what she was able to accomplish. So there's so many women, like I said, that because of social media, we're able to recognize and know their names. But then there are the ones like Manon Raume, who was the first female to play in a hockey game, NHL. You know, there wasn't social media. Of course, you know, people who are really into hockey probably know of her, but not in the level that they should. So that's why I wanted to make sure that some of these other women were celebrated.
Yeah, and you did a great job with it. And I was sort of envisioning this. You had to narrow down who was going to be in the book. You want, I can envision this giant whiteboard. This is my vision of it all. Giant whiteboard of all the wonderful people you wanted to interview. And then trying to figure out, you know, availability. How do you go about doing that? Are they willing to do that? How do you get a mixture in there to make it? I mean, how in the world did you go about doing all that? Because that seems like that's a multi-year project just in itself.
It was. And when I first got the book deal, it was, you know, I thought I was going to have a little, you know, maybe a year and a half, but I had 9 months. So people don't realize 9 months seems like a long time. No, it's not. Not when you're having to do the interviews, then transcribe, then rewrites, you know, all the different signing off on pictures, you know, all the different things that come along with it. So it was a lot. So to begin with, it was, you know, I had my, you know, I guess you call it your wish list. And, you know, on the top of my wish list was Billie Jean King. So I'm like, I literally said to my publisher, if I can't have Billie Jean King, I can't do the book. I mean, that's just, of course, I'm, you know, hopefully I can do a second book. And there's so many people I want to add to that. But Billie Jean, when you go back to all the women, like she had to be in my book. She had to be my chapter one. So once I got her, I knew that, you know, I was onto something. And then getting Jackie Joyner Kersee and Danica Patrick and Layla Ali and all the different women. But there are some women that weren't able to be in the book because they had conflicts and it was just so hard. You know, Serena Williams did say yes, but then she had her own book coming out. So that was a conflict. You know, Christy Yamaguchi had her own book coming out. So there were women who I did want to have in there, but there were, you know, certain reasons why they couldn't. So that's why I really hope this book does well, because I do have so many in mind that I want for the second book. And of course, Caitlin Clark, you know, she'd probably be my chapter one. But, you know, Katie Ledecky, you know, I don't think she gets enough credit. You know, people only care about her during the Olympics, but she has more gold medals than Michael Phelps. So, you know, but she's been training, so I couldn't get her, you know, and she wanted to do it, but, you know, she's still honing in on, you know, this next Olympic run. So it was tough to try to get everyone in 9 months. So I think the women that I end up having in my book, I think I was really happy, but of course there's more, and more women are doing amazing things that I'd want to add.
Absolutely. I think the next book will, you know, complete that list that you have. And then by then there'll be more out there, you know, especially if, you know, with Caitlin Clark's, the world's amazing. And I was super excited. You know, once sort of giddy here once again. I grew up as a Hoosier in Indiana. And of course, Indianapolis 500 rules, not only the month of May, but just rules throughout the whole year. And when Danica Patrick, I saw she was in the book, you know, the first female winner of an IndyCar race. Admittedly, I read certain sections in certain ways. I didn't go straight through the book. I read different sections. So Danica was definitely second on my list. We'll put it that way. Second on my list. And then a huge fan of Layla Ali when she came to town to defend her title into Atlanta was front and center. You know, I bought the tickets right away and got in front row to see her do her magic. And, you know, what a wonderful person she is. And of course, then her craft is just amazing in what she has been able to accomplish.
Yeah, she's amazing. And what I loved about Layla is I wanted to make sure when I interviewed her, like I never in any of my questions that I already had pre-thought of, I'm like, I'm not asking her anything about her dad because that's all she gets right away. Mm. And I'm like, if she wants to speak on her dad, great, I'll let her, but I'm not going to ask her about her dad because this was about her. And, you know, and like I thought, organically, she spoke about her dad even more. And then she told me afterwards, she goes, thank you for not starting off with, you know, my father. She's like, because, you know, she's still, I don't think people realize what she did in boxing as a female. So, and it wasn't just about her dad, but that's hard when you're kind of in his shadow for so long. So I think that was something I want to make sure that she was celebrated in her own right, not just because she's the daughter of Muhammad Ali.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I will put you on the spot. The first part I read, the first chapter I read, and it gave me even more insight, I believe, to who you are, hopefully, as a person. I read the introduction. And I love the introduction because it really helped me. You know, I could see all the wonderful stuff that I've admired that you've done over the years and that you continue to do. But then I got a chance to peel back the onion a little bit more and see you as a child in the introduction and how you sort of formulated to perhaps who you are today.
Yes. And I guess a lot of people would probably know how close I am with my father. So that was how it kind of started. I was the little boy in the family and I was the one that really just wanted to be with my father all the time. So I was going to the, you know, the games, and he was a season ticket holder for the Giants and the Niners and the Warriors and Stanford and Cal, you name it. And so I was always going to the games with my father. And of course, my dad owned racehorses before I was born. And so I've always was around the track. And So I was around horses and grew up on a horse ranch. And so that was the thing is, like, for me, that's what excited me, is going to games and learning about these players and not just about, you know, getting the foam finger and cotton candy. I wanted to know about these players and what college they went to. And, you know, why does the 40 matter, Dad, you know, for football? And, you know, just everything, you know. So it was just something. I was reading the Sporting Green, which, you know, ages myself, but we had something called the Sporting Green, and that was the green part of the newspaper, and that was all sports. And so I'd be going in there and reading the box scores, and everyone else, you know, my age is looking at the comics or, you know, whatever, but I didn't care about that. So it was kind of different right out of the gate, where I knew that sports, not only was I a fan of sports, but I knew that I wanted to make it a career.
I was even more fascinated with the fact that, you know, your closeness with your father and getting a chance to attend these games and get to know the people, so on and so forth. But you really have always delved into, well, I don't want to say the word deep in, but you really got involved in this. I mean, learning things that, like the triangle offense, you mentioned about that, getting to know what that is really, and how does that work, and how does that differ? And then trying to convince others that this is the best route to go.
Right. And it's funny because, as you know, there's people who either love the triangle offense or they're like, no, it's boring, we want the run and gun. And, you know, so it was funny when Phil came to LA, how that was going to adapt to the players that were there. And as you know, there are players, you know, I can mention Luke Walton. He's a great example. If he wasn't in the triangle offense, I don't know how successful his career would have been. And, you know, Luke will probably be mad that I said that, but it's true. Like, you know, he fit in great into the triangle offense, right? You know, so even Derek Fisher, all the, there's certain guys, Ron Harper, they really succeeded, and they were at the top of their game through the triangle offense. And I think that was something that the other NBA teams, you know, just weren't accustomed to or liked. And I always just, you know, navigated through the triangle offense going, God, I just love, you know, how Tex Winter created this amazing offense. And this, so I would talk to Phil and the late Dr. Jerry Buss and Mitch Kupchak and the logo, Jerry West, about all of, you know, my thoughts. And they're like, gosh, you actually have an eye for talent and you really know the game. So for that first year, I just scouted Pac-12, which is obviously non-existent anymore, Big 12 conferences. And then they liked my scouting reports after a year. And then I was with them for 13 years total, and then five rings. So it was a lot of ups and downs when you're the only female and you're scouting all over the place and renting cars in the middle of the night and not knowing where you're going. And then, you know, it was a lot to get used to, but it was probably the best part, you know, time of my life when I was there with the Lakers.
Yeah. Great time to be there. And you had a lot to do with it too. So you pat yourself on the back for that, for sure. And you talk about your father and your closeness with your father, but your mother sort of, you know, another facet of who you are in your life, the dance side and the modeling and the acting side of things. And I would hazard to guess your mother had a lot to say and a lot to do with that in that aspect as well.
Yeah. So she was, you know, the typical, and, you know, I'll tell her, she's not like I'm saying anything poorly about her, but she was that typical pageant mom. You know, it was funny. I guess, you know, we look back and my mom and dad always say, you know, my dad wanted Bonnie. Actually, my mom wanted Bonnie and my dad wanted Jill. And that kind of was like the two personalities. So it's like my tomboy side and then my pageant side. Cause, you know, I was, you know, running with my horses and playing softball. But then I was, you know, had the eyelashes and extensions of my hair when I was 3 years old, like winking at judges, you know, for, you know, pageants and dancing. So it's very two different type of, you know, personalities. And I think kind of I embraced both of them. And I believe that's how I really opened the doors for my sports career, because I combined my dance and my love of sports by cheering in the NBA with the Golden State Warriors right out the gate. And I was 17 in high school still, and then went to the Niners for 2 years and then the Dallas Cowboys. But that was the way I got in, the networking. I knew, as much as people maybe don't like it, I used it as a stepping stone, and it worked out.
I'm proud of you for it. I mean, that's what those opportunities are. And it's not like it was given to you. You know, you handle and still handle today both of those avenues extremely well. And you look for ways, in my opinion, from following you and your career, you look for ways to continue to improve and expand and do more things. In this book, in League of Her Own, I mean, that's a perfect example of that.
Yes. Sorry, that's Willie Nelson. He's playing with his toy. So that's not me playing with a toy right now. That's my dog. But yeah, and I think to have longevity in the entertainment world, sports world, you have to be able to pivot. You have to be able to have different layers of yourself to stay relevant. And that's with me. It's like you got to continue to evolve and change. And, you know, when I was, you know, in the middle of my career, or maybe the height of my career, there was no such thing as social media, Tim. So I had to learn. I remember the Lakers said, there's this thing called Twitter. And I'm like, okay. And they're like, you just have to write about like what you're doing and like about your life. And I'm like, what do you mean? I'm like, that's weird. And they're like, no, you're going to talk about, you know, players you're scouting and what you're doing. And then if you want to talk about you going out with your friends. And I remember them like telling me like what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm like, oh, that sounds horrible. I don't want any part of that. And so I remember I think I tweeted one thing, oh, Bonnie Jo's on Twitter. And then I just left it. And then all of a sudden I was like, oh, okay. And then it got to a point where if you're not, you know, on social media, I mean, it's in your contracts now. You have to, they hire people off how many followers they have. So it has changed where you have to do it, whether you like it or not. And then it kind of just is a day of, you know, it's another day where you just do it without even thinking about it. And I don't get too personal. Yes, I show my animals and charity and, you know, me and my friends out, but I don't, you know, I don't post about like who I'm dating or anything like that. But it's funny how some people really can get on board with that. And for me, though, I really had reservations. But here we are.
Yeah, exactly. I'm the same way with you. I remember my first publicist for my first book. This is right when Facebook and Twitter was starting to come out. And they said, well, you got to get on social media. And I'm like, what is that? Facebook, you've heard of that? Twitter, you've heard of that? I'm like, I have no idea. I said, so actually, I think my first account that I had, I said, okay, set it up for me because I have no clue what you're talking about. I'm a one-on-one guy. I'm a face-to-face guy. I can do TV. I can do radio. I can do these things, but social media is a whole different ball game. And I still obviously don't have the skill set that you have in it, but I was laughing with our producer, Mark, before the show about how we have to use social media, and the more pictures of cute animals, the better, the higher your rankings go. If you put a cute animal in there, you're going to get high in the rankings.
Yeah. Well, I'll have my mom follow you and you'll get all the animal videos you can imagine. See, all she does is send my friends. I mean, she follows all, and it's funny. She's never had one post, Tim, but yet she's got like 2,000 followers and she just sends people animal videos and petitions to sign, you know, and all these different things, but it's nonstop. It's like the cute little beavers carrying the carrots out. It's a little porcupine getting a bath. It's like, if there's something that's going on with a cute animal, my mom is already all on it.
Love your mom. I love all that. My heart breaks when I get the other aspect of it. I know it's necessary, but to promote the animal care and rescue, these type of things. And we're going to delve into all your wonderful activities on that as well. So I'm going to pick your brain before we go to break here. And you give me some insight, if you would, please. So I've got a niece. She's a Texas girl. She is going to Baylor. Sorry, not UT, but she's going to Baylor.
Okay. That's all right. It's a good school.
And she's heavily involved in Baylor Vision, which is the sports casting, learning the ins and outs.
I know exactly what it is. Yeah. I'm aware of that.
So she started getting involved in that and learning everything, you know, from the broadcasting and interviewing aspects and the social media sites and the behind the scenes type of things. And at this point in time, she's going to be a junior, or I think she just started getting ready to start her junior year. In any case, she thinks she wants to eventually go get her law degree and become a sports agent.
Yeah, I was going to say, if she's getting her law degree, she needs to be an agent. Yep.
That's it. So I told her, I said, if you're going to be an agent, you got to get your law degree. And she's like, okay. And she, okay, wow, teenager actually listened to me. That was the first. I marked that in my calendar. But what advice would you give for, you know, for a young female, woman who is wanting to either get into this field or just wanting to expand themselves to get to that next level, whatever that level may be?
I think the biggest thing is that no job is too small, if that makes sense. So it's like, you know, you get all these women who now want to be in sports, and that's great, but they just want to go, oh, well, automatically, I just want to become a coach. Well, you got to start somewhere. So a lot of it, take any intern, and it may not even be like she wants to be a sports agent. And so she may start working for a team in the PR department, or she's working for a team, I don't know, business operations, sponsorship, tickets, I don't care what it is, but you're in the door. So you go get into an organization, and you'll see this, you know, if you look at some of these different people who are GMs, and, you know, look at Eric Spoelstra from the Heat, he started as a video scout, you know, so you can see how you just take any job to get in there, because no job, I mean, you're all part of the organization, right? So I always tell people, get in whatever job that may be, even if it's not exactly what you want to do, go get in there, you know? So for her, I would say we try to work for an organization, work for a, you know, TV sports network or radio, sports radio, or, you know, in a perfect world, work as an intern at an agency. And maybe because all the agencies now, CAA, all of them, they all have their own division of marketing, publicity, get in there. And then all of a sudden you start to, you know, network, because that is the biggest thing. I don't care what anyone tells you. Networking is everything in our industry, because people hire who they've seen, who they know, who their friends are, course, you got to keep the job, but that gets you in the door. So I suggest he gets a job right now, you know, when she gets out, or however, just start to intern and start to like make her way and, you know, collecting all the business cards, stay in touch with everyone, and just take any job she can. And, you know, in Baylor, I mean, Texas, she's got so many variety of teams that she can start to work for. So that's what I suggest.
Absolutely. Well, she will be listening to this episode. She may not listen to any of my other episodes. I'm not sure. But this one she's going to be listening to, because I think that's wonderful advice, because you have to get started somewhere and try to identify what that is, and then be flexible enough. Because I'm sure there are changes. There's things that you thought you were going to do, and then it shifted and more opportunities.
Right. So there's a lot of girls I know who are like, oh, I wanted to work as a, you know, a PR girl for an athlete or whatever. And then they totally shifted. And, you know, they loved working on the business ops side and, you know, and sponsorship deals and advertisers. You know what I mean? So get in there, because you don't know. Everything's kind of a facade, and you kind of just see from social media different things. You don't know until you're actually hands on and boots on the ground and figure out what it is, because, you know, you may not like what you thought you're going to like.
That's
so
right.
You got to have to figure it out.
Absolutely. Great advice. Thank you very much for that. Well, we're going to take a quick commercial break. Then we're going to come back and talk a little bit more to Bonnie Jill Laughlin about her book, In a League of Her Own, Celebrating Female First in Sports. I want to talk to her also about her wonderful organizations, Hounds and Heroes and Battle Bunnies Ranch. So everybody, hang tight. We'll come back right after this commercial break. You're listening to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Hey everybody, this is Tim Link, the host of Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Got some exciting news for you here today. My audiobook is now available. Wagging Tales, Every Animal Has a Tale is now available in audiobook form through Audible.com, Amazon.com, and iTunes. It's a collection of 32 conversations I've had with the animals. It's a fun, interesting, heartfelt book that's suitable for all age groups. So everybody, pick up a copy of the audiobook, Wagging Tales, Every Animal Has a Tale. You'll be glad you did.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Continue our conversation with the incredible Bonnie Jill Laughlin, the new author of the book, In a League of Her Own, Celebrating Female First in Sports. Now, Bonnie Jill, when people go out and pick up a copy of the book, and they're going to love it, like I mentioned before, you know, it's extremely well written, very interesting stories and insights, but also just the way it's put together. I just love the book in general.
Thank you for supporting it, too. I appreciate that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So when everybody picks up a copy of the book, is there a certain goal, message, walk away that you hope they get from after they read the book?
I think it's just being inspired to that you can do anything you put your mind to, you know, regardless of, like for me, there wasn't a scout, you know, so there was no one for me to look up to. There was not, you know, I had mentors, but not someone who had been in that position. So I hope this book shows the younger generation, like I said, the women who want to have a career in sports and all the different facets and layers and different roles that they can be in. And also the inspiring, it's not just for women. The stories are inspiring. The sacrifices that all these different ladies made, you know, the balance, you know, being a mom and trying to pursue their career, and or the things they sacrificed that they didn't do, like not being able to go to their senior ball or not maybe having kids or whatever it may be. But, you know, that sacrifice led to success and to work ethic, because I think work ethic is really lost in this younger generation. So I really want to instill that work ethic is so important, whether you're getting paid or not in the beginning, it pays off. So all of those kind of things, I think those takeaways really kind of, you know, where I want to hit home. And but majority of the biggest why was, you know, the women that I've heard from, the moms who said, my daughter now knows that there's a space for her. And, you know, so thank you for writing this book, because that's what it's all about. And as you know, when you write a book, it's, you know, you're not making money off of a book, you know, especially the first book. It's all about just the message and the mission of, you know, what I was trying to create.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, many of the aspects of the book that, and I'm glad you're getting those accolades, because it's definitely well-deserved. And I'm glad the mothers are coming forward and saying this is a great inspiration for their daughters. And the thing I love about it most is, you know, some of our younger females, they may not know some of these people, as you had mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
And so now you sort of get to peel back to the beginnings, the ones that really, you know, broke the glass ceiling, as mentioned before, the trailblazers like yourself. And for me, an old timer, I see some of these names and I'm like, oh my gosh, Jane Kennedy. I love her. You know, Jackie Joyner Kersee.
Jane Kennedy. I know she was, I felt out of all the women, her career kind of paralleled mine a lot, because she was a pageant girl. She was a dancer. She was an actress. She was a model. And she was told because of her look, she didn't know sports, you know. So I really resonated with a lot of the messaging that she said, missing all the high school events and all the different things, birthdays and baby showers and weddings and all that stuff that she missed because of her career and all the different sacrifices she made because of it. And I think people always think that Erin Andrews is kind of like the epitome or the first person. It's Jane Kennedy who really paved that way and who was the one to really break the barriers, and also being a minority African-American. So she did a lot for broadcast journalism for women.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I love watching her because she definitely knows what she's talking about. So I love that. The big kudos. Well, before I let you off the hook on this aspect, you mentioned drive and getting out there and doing it and, you know, networking, these type of things, which are critical. What are you looking back on it all? How do you think you got your drive? And was it your dad and your mom? Was it something that was instilled upon you? Was it something that was just part of your DNA? Or was it something you sort of fumbled and bumbled like I did through life and finally figured out, yeah, I'm pretty good at some things?
No, I came out of the womb knowing that I'm going to own a sports team. I'm going to run a sports team. Like, I was a different type of kid. I don't know. I just, especially as a little girl, like, you know, all the girls are, you know, I like Barbie now. At the time, I hated her. I'm like, she is so, what is it? Like, I hated her. The only time I would play with her, my mom said I would tear her head off, right? So I didn't like her. So I played with the G.I. Joes. I played with, you know, all the collecting baseball cards. You know, that I was so different. So, of course, my parents instilled a lot in me. My mom, on her side, was all the philanthropy, like giving back. We would go to third world countries and give back and do all that at a young age and rescuing every animal possible and paying it forward and, you know, feeding the homeless during the holidays and supporting our troops. So that was always big in our family. But then my dad, you know, with the sports. So yes, it was instilled in me at a young age, all of that. But it was also just, you know, the DNA, like, you know, out of the womb, I knew. And I kind of think that's how it is with a lot of people. I mean, you look at athletes and you look at a Kobe Bryant or Michael Jordan, either you're a gym rat or you're not. That's something you can't instill in someone. So I think that is just what you're born with. And that is kind of like how I am.
Yeah. And it's proven to be a great success for you. Obviously, big kudos on everything that you do, and especially the book In a League of Her Own. Fantastic work there. And I'm always excited to see what the next thing is. So I'm looking forward to hearing about your next things you have on your goals and your list. But one of the things we definitely got to talk about is your wonderful philanthropy and love for animals and the rescue. And you've got your rescue hounds and heroes. And of course, then your ranch, Battle Buddies Ranch. Tell us a little bit about each of those, how they got started, and then how people can help out.
Yes, I started Hounds and Heroes in 2010. And I wanted to combine the passions that I have, which is animal welfare, and then supporting our troops, especially when they come back from deployments, and then doing 18 USO tours, 19 USO tours overseas, 8 to Iraq and Afghanistan. I saw the VA didn't take care of our men and women in uniform, and they were just, you know, basically over-medicating them, and that was a problem, and the suicide rate being so high. And then on the flip side, all the animals, the high euthanasia rate, and putting these, you know, great dogs down. I'm like, this is the way we can combine this. So pulling these dogs from the shelters, high-risk dogs, being able to train them and pair them as service or therapy dogs for our men and women who are suffering from PTS, TBI, amputees. There's so much there, and trying to help with getting them off these meds and being able to live a life, not just be existing. And so that was really important. And we are, you know, still small, but we're in California and in Texas. We are here now in the Fort Worth area, and we have expanded to the equine, which is the, you know, horse rescue part of it, where I've rescued so many horses from kill pens, off the track thoroughbreds, and then been able to do these equine therapy retreats that we were doing in California. And now we have that here in Texas, and we're doing not only the combat veterans that are dealing with their mental struggles, but also disabled children, and then children of fallen soldiers and first responders. So we, you know, we're trying to just do as much as we can, as small as we are, but we rescue a lot of other animals, Tim, that, you know, maybe aren't necessarily considered a therapy animal, because we've got pigs and goats and donkeys and everything else. We can, we had emus, you know, the whole bit. But if you know anything about animals, it doesn't matter if you're going through anything or not, just being around a dog that's wagging its tail, or, you know, a goat that's jumping off a little hill, you know, it just makes you smile. So all in all, it's just to bring great mental health awareness through animals.
Absolutely. Well, they are our greatest teachers and our greatest lovers. And you're right, no matter how bad of a bad day you've had, you get near an animal of any sort and all of a sudden all your worries are gone. You don't have to worry about a thing.
Unless it's my animals that sometimes don't stop barking. They may be, but all in all, they're pretty good.
Believe me, getting up at 3 a.m. to let the dogs out and give them their treats and all that. Yeah, I've been doing that for years. So I feel for you there for sure, but it's all worth it for sure. Well, where can everybody keep track of all the wonderful things you've got going on, your appearances, maybe get a chance, if they're lucky, to meet up with you and have a chat with you?
Yes. So we can go to BonnieJill.com, the-Bonnie-Jill or BonnieJill.com. Either one will take you to my website. It's got how you can buy the book, our different book signings that we have going on. And then, of course, HoundsAndHeroes.com. Our socials are Hounds and Heroes as well. And it shows if you're a veteran in need or first responder in need to reach out to us. And also how you can help with the fees that accumulate through training these dogs and their food and vet bills. I mean, you name it. There's always a dollar goes a long way, especially when you have all these different animals. And my barn manager and my business manager, Sarah Mark Inger, they help keep this all in place. But they always tell me no more animals. And then all of a sudden I'm like, oh, Mark, we have 3 pigs coming on Friday. And he's like, what? You know, he's like, is this my birthday present? Because it's just his birthday. I'm like, well, no, it's kind of like my birthday present, but you'll be taking care of them, you know, half the time because I'm so busy with this book tour. So, you know, it works out, but you have to have people around you. You know, the different people who work with the organization and our board, they have a passion for it too. It's not just to say that they work with a nonprofit. You know, they're all very passionate about helping our heroes and our animals.
Absolutely. Well, we'll let them know that I often talk about how animals deal with positive praise and positive energy. And the word
absolutely. Yeah. Especially horses.
Absolutely. And so the word no is a negative energy word, and animals have a great way of deflecting negative energy. So when you say the word no more animals, that actually means more animals.
Exactly. I mean, that's the thing. And anyone that knows me, it's like during Christmas, there was someone where, I don't know how this even came across me, but a reindeer needed a home because it would have been one of those reindeers people take pictures with. And anyhow, I was going to, you know, rescue this reindeer. And Mark's like, I have no idea how to take care of a reindeer. I'm like, well, I don't know. There's Google. So you can try to like look it up, but we're going to have to take this reindeer. So I won't say no to any animal. I mean, it doesn't matter what it is. I always want to save them. So that's not going to change.
That sounds like a book in itself. Reindeers in Texas. I think you're onto something right there for sure.
Right. Absolutely.
Well, we'll get all those posted so everybody can keep track of everything that's going on with you and your wonderful organizations. And definitely, everybody pick up a copy of the book. It's a fabulous read, very insightful, and it's definitely full of opportunities for especially our young females and young women to learn a little bit about not only the sports and entertainment areas, but just life in general. So the name of the book is...
Yes, my second book, and I am going to have the... hopefully a second book with In League of Our Own, but I do what I want to do. And again, it's hard to get a publisher to jump on this, but the book I want to do is a children's book with the rescue animals. And so I'm really trying to get that, you know, through this, I'll be able to do the children's book because that's what I really want to do. And I already have everything drawn out, all the chapters, everything. But so we'll hopefully that I'll be on your show again, talking about that at some point.
Yeah, absolutely. Love it. I think you should put out a book once or twice a year so we can just have you on the show. I think that's what...
Because it's really easy.
It's super easy.
It's so easy. And you get a lot of sleep. You eat a lot. You just, you know, you get to stroll through the park with no, you know, worry in the world. But
absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, everybody pick up a copy of the book. It's In a League of Our Own, Celebrating Female First in Sports by Bonnie Jill Laughlin. Bonnie Jill, it was an absolute pleasure getting a chance to chat with you. Congratulations on another success and the launch of the book. And I'll look forward to chatting with you again sometime real soon.
Great. Thanks, Tim, so much for having me on.
Absolutely. Well, we're coming to the end of the show today. I want to thank everyone for listening to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. I want to thank the producers and sponsors for making this show possible. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas for the show, you can drop us a line at PetLifeRadio.com, and we'll be able to answer your questions, entertain your comments, and bring on the people you want to hear from most. And while you're there, check out all the other wonderful shows and hosts. It's a cornucopia of good fun and usually critters involved. So until next time, write a great story about the animals in your life, and who knows, you may be the next guest on Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Have a great day.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.